This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boydaderis, Sandy Carney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe. This is your weekly podcast about gamification, gaming technology, and play. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, not of any organization which we have been, are, or will be affiliated. This is episode 98, Something Sweet in Your Neighborhood, and was recorded on Friday, the 24th of October.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's another lovely day in North Carolina, and my friend Michael Martin and I are your co-hosts for GamesAtWork.biz. We're so pleased to be here today. How are you doing, Michael?
I am doing terrific, Phaedra. It's so nice to have you here with me again today, too. And we have a rather exciting lineup for the show today, so I can't wait to get right to it. How about you?
Indeed. This is our pre-Halloween show, so we're going to have to make some scary noises while we go along. But yeah, we've got a great lineup, starting with Endgame, which is an augmented reality game that Google has partnered up to create. And they just made news. It got launched this week. A lot of news outlets are talking about it. It's a worldwide augmented reality game that is based on a book by James Frey called The Endgame.
Yeah, so you can see more about it right away if you go to the website for this game called EndgameAncientTruth.com. And we're rather excited about taking a good look at this because I've not read the book yet, but the way the book and the game and some of the video content and actors that are involved in this are all going to combine to create a very immersive kind of experience, one that which I know I've not personally participated in before.
Yes, I'm looking forward to playing it. I haven't started it yet, but I know it launched this week, so stay tuned. We'll report back.
Yes, exactly. The fun part here is for those of you who've played with some of the other Google Niantic Labs environments, there's really only one, and it's a big one. We're expecting to see some of the same kinds of things there, where the overlay map of the world will be an important feature as to how the gameplay begins, and there are 12 tribes, if you will, in different places in the world that it looks like that will be where we wind up belonging to start, and we'll then be able to watch how this game evolves between these tribes as well.
And since this is our Halloween show, you mentioned something about ghosts prior to the show. What have you heard? Tell us.
Well, there's all kinds of ghosts, and they're everywhere. So I was walking through the office, and I saw a little catering cart in front of one of the conference rooms. And immediately, my eye was drawn to the Ghostbusters logo. So we all know that this is the 30th anniversary of Ghostbusters. And so there's a ton of things out there on it. I'm looking at my little Ecto-1 model, Lego model right now of the car, as well as the Ghostbusters themselves in Lego form. And we've had examples of other games such as the Quest for Stuff from Family Guy, which has a Ghostbusters holiday theme associated with it as well. And I shot a picture of the E-Pred, the Predator that has been encompassed in that game, along with Alien and Jason. So there's all these characters you can get and play. But what I found really kind of fun was the Krispy Kreme box that had the Ghostbusters logo on it, and there was a QR code. So I was like, oh, well, this is cool. I'll just snap the QR code and let's see where it goes. And Phaedra, where it took me was to a website that asked me for my zip code. And upon providing it the zip code, it then did an overlay of Google Maps with a Ghostbusters tricorder ghost detector of sorts. I can't remember what Dr. Venkman called that device. But, it's the one with the little ears that kind of raise up.
Yeah. And, per your zip code, like on your zip code.
Yeah, kind of so. And then you're kind of looking around your streets where you are, and it's detecting where there are ghosts. And then you can find a ghost that might look familiar to one of the ones that was from the movie. And you can trap and capture that ghost as part of this interface. You can then take a picture of that and share that with your Twitter or your Flickr or whatever network. And if you go a little, you know, search around a little bit more, you can actually find Krispy Kreme donuts too, which you can eat, and then it will munch those for you, and you can share those before or after munching them, I suppose, too.
Does it show you where the Krispy Kreme donuts are, like in real life via Google Maps as part of the gameplay?
You know, it will help you get to your nearest Krispy Kreme store, which is an intelligent thing. But if it were really the case that I could detect where Krispy Kreme donuts were with my mobile device, I would probably be finding more Krispy Kreme donuts.
On people's windowsills, in their cars.
Yeah, it's like, hey, do you have any Krispy Kremes? Because my phone says that you do.
Ah, marketing. You gotta love games for marketing.
I do. I do love it. And I thought, it's like, wow, this is a partnership between Krispy Kreme and Google. And this could be really a ton of fun. And, you know, maybe there are some elements like, you know, what we have with the road munchies from Waze and stuff like that. So the interface was cute. It was very simple. There wasn't much more involved in it. And kind of going the spectrum from the augmented reality and alternate reality kind of games, like what we just talked about from Endgame, down to the spectrum of a marketing game where you kind of zoom around just a little bit and say, oh, look, there is a Krispy Kreme donut that's shaped like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That's kind of cool. I like that. And I can munch it.
And that's... Do you think these kinds of games for marketing, does it add to brand loyalty? Like, obviously, you're already a loyal customer. But do you think for those on the fence, this game would put them over the edge? Or what is your thought with regards to who this targets?
I think it's trying to retain those that have an affinity with the brand already, yep, and make, yep, it interesting. Mm-hmm. It may not attract somebody new, you know. So if you saw that Krispy Kreme was making Slimer, you know, donuts, that might not seem so appetizing.
Unless you're already a loyal fan, and then you might be like, oh, another one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you knew this, but at least a couple of years ago, Krispy Kreme had some special summer donuts that they put out that was in partnership with Cheerwine. And the cream filling of these Krispy Kreme donuts was Cheerwine flavored and actually had a little bit of the effervescence, if you will, the sort of the sparkling carbonated water sort of reaction in the cream inside the donut.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was. And you know, I don't eat a ton of donuts. I mean, if you looked at me, you might say, yeah, you do, but I don't. But that was kind of like, wow, isn't this really cool? And the flavor of them was rather interesting, too, to have that sort of, you know, Cheerwine and Krispy Kreme together. Huh. So I guess this is nicely bookending the conversation we had last week where we were talking about state fair food. And I suppose you could deep fry a Slimer donut as well, and you could call that a tasty treat if you went to the state fair.
I don't know. Agreed. A deep fried donut.
Yeah.
Double fried.
Front, back, and sideways. Yeah, so I like the marketing game, and something was just telling me is like, you know, this could be so much more, because I do like the map games, and I did like the Monopoly games that were allowed you to buy real streets and kind of interact that way and stuff like this. So I had high expectations, and I enjoyed playing it. It was fun, and I enjoy the brand. But it left me wanting more, which is, I guess, the way donuts operate, too.
Understood. Speaking of enjoying play.
Yeah.
So there's a big conference coming up called the Serious Games Showcase and Challenge. And it's going to be in December, and it's sponsored by the United States Army. And as part of this competition, there's a number of different gaming companies, game studios that have submitted entries for their game so that they might be judged. And I'm not allowed to say who's been submitting their games, but I've got to do a quick call out. to say how impressed I am by the wide variety of different kinds of serious games that are going to be showcased here. From games that teach geometry to games that test hearing in kids to games that train medics. I mean, really, really fun stuff and innovative approaches towards teaching using games.
That is so cool. Where is that conference going to take place?
It's going to be in Orlando, Florida.
Ah, sunny Orlando.
In December. Not a bad time to be in Orlando.
Yeah, no, that'll be actually pretty good. And for you to be selected as a judge for this is another high honor. And I can't wait to hear more about which games are there and which ones won from the judging competition. Because from what you've just described, I'm already intrigued.
It's interesting. Last time I was at this conference, they had an area that was set aside for advanced simulations in healthcare, and they had these interactive models, if you will, you know, made of plastic with all kinds of circuitry inside, and they had one that was pregnant. And you're supposed to be delivering this model's baby right there on the floor. It was so, you know, you leave the conference like, I delivered a baby today. It was really, really interesting and a lot of fun.
Oh, my goodness. That does sound rather interesting. And mm-hmm. If we're talking about field combat stuff, too, that could likewise be pretty interesting.
Agreed. Most assuredly.
We're going to play a little bit of Halo, and then we're going to show you on a model how you would fix the damage you just caused. Let's go walk over here next. Here we go.
Agreed. So you've got big plans for Halloween, I understand. Since it's the Halloween show, you're expecting hundreds of people.
Yeah, or a pre-Halloween show anyway. So yeah, you bet. Our house tends to be inundated with children and ghosts and goblins and all kinds of various creatures, and we're very, very lucky, and it's to see so many people come through. And every year, the costumes just get better and better, and I can't wait to see what kind of creativity the kids come up with this year.
And do you dress up?
I have on occasion. I don't know that I will this year, so we'll have to see. But in prior years, this is kind of funny. So here's my fanboyish fanboyhood coming out, I guess. I don't know. I at one point I was the Waze icon. Actually, I don't know if I have that the Waze app, you know, icon lying around anywhere.
Are you serious?
I did. I dressed in black, and then I had the Waze, you know, smiling happy car driving along, and I remember the Waze guys retweeted that. And there were some rather interesting comments like, boy, this is really sad that this guy dressed up as an icon, or, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, no, I think it's clever.
It was kind of fun. I was an app, you know. Actually, what would be really cool is that if you had enough people dressing up as apps, that they could all be in, like, a phone.
That would be pretty funny.
Yeah, so how about you? Are you dressing up?
I'm going to be Nemesis, the goddess of revenge.
Ooh.
That's my plan.
That'll be pretty good. I'll be interested to see a photo of that, Fader.
I'll post it to the site.
Yeah, please do. So do you also have hundreds of kids come by your door?
Our average number of bags that we give out hovers around 7, so nowhere near as much as you give out.
Okay, well, we're going to have to stock up and probably get an extra, you know, 2 loads from Costco or something to make sure that we're ready to satisfy the voracious children.
Likely. Well, we wish every one of our listeners a very happy Halloween, and we hope you tune in for our next show.
Yes, we hope so. And with some good luck, we'll actually be recording it on the spooky Halloween day itself. So we shall see. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed these couple of comments, and we're looking forward to talking with you again next time. See ya.
See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz. gamesatwork.biz.